So when I was a kid, I was raised in a Christian family, and we believed in Jesus. It seemed like not a lot of other people did for some reason. It was like when I went to school or just when we were out in public and things that were in the stores, it just seemed like Jesus wasn't much of a part of a lot of people's lives, except at Christmas time. At Christmas time, I always thought it was interesting how we'd go around and see people putting up Christmas lights in stores, promoting Christmas, or even having displays of the nativity scene and things like that. And so I had to ask my parents about that and be like, okay, well, you know, what's up, do these people believe in Jesus too? And there was a little wishy-washy on that, kind of like, well, I don't know. It seemed like they were saying maybe, but my impression was more that they were saying no. And I didn't really understand that because we all know that Christmas is about the birth of Jesus. And so I didn't understand why people would celebrate the birth of Jesus if they didn't really believe in Jesus in the same way that we did. And I think a lot of people believe in Jesus, but maybe not quite in the same way that the Bible would talk about. And so at Christmas time, I think it's always interesting how we have these two different things going on. We have this celebration of Christmas, and we have a celebration of Christ, and both things are happening. And I don't want to be one of those people who like stands here and bashes us for all the commercialism and the lights and all those things. I think some of those things are part of what makes Christmas fun for us, part of our tradition as our families or maybe even as a nation. And so I don't want to take away from that. I think that's kind of part of our heritage. And there are things that I really like about Christmas itself. I like the Christmas lights. And I think most of us do. We love going out and seeing, you know, especially if there's a park or a person's home who's really elaborately displayed. I think that's enjoyable. We like things like the Christmas program, watching little kids do some kind of a presentation. I think we like the hustle and bustle and the buying of gifts and the seeing family coming together and being family again, being in one house, having meals together. And all those things are really fun, and they're part of our Christmas celebration. And I think we can be Christmas celebrators. But I want to think about just what it means to be a Christ celebrator. Why is there a difference? Why, as a kid, did I sense that it's like we're celebrating Christmas in a different way than some other people are celebrating Christmas? They're celebrating the same thing, the same event, but somehow it's changed. And so I want to just talk about that briefly here this morning. Let's pray. Jesus, we pray that you would just help us today just to understand what you've done for us. And we know that you're the reason for the season. We know that Christmas is about your birth, but we really want to appreciate you for who you are. And even though we enjoy the holiday and we enjoy seeing trees decorated and things like that, we know that it's not really about that. But help us to really understand the difference, and to understand who you are, and that the celebration of this time wouldn't just be about those things, but more importantly, it would be about you. And we just want to thank you for what you've done. And so I pray, God, that you would help us to understand that in a little bit of a better way here this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so what's the difference between celebrating Christmas and celebrating Christ? We have to understand who Jesus was or who Christ was to really see that difference. Because I think probably a lot of people that I saw as a kid that had their displays up and all that stuff did believe in Jesus. But I think they believed in Jesus perhaps in a different way than what the Bible would talk about. And so the first thing I want to think about is just that Jesus was sent by God. If we understand that about Jesus, that's a really profound thing. That when Jesus came as a baby, he wasn't just another child being born into the world, but he was sent by God. John 3:17 says, "For God did not send his son, Jesus, into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." So in this passage and numerous others, it talks about Jesus being sent by God the Father into the world. And so that makes his birth a pretty special thing. He's not just another human being. He was sent as God in the flesh, the Son of God. It's like, wow, it's hard to even understand or go into this morning, but by no means was he just another baby. And we see that Jesus had a miraculous birth. I think sometimes we get caught up in the little parts of the story, but we forget kind of the big picture, like, wow, this was an amazing thing. And a lot of it was already talked about with the video. But we know that Mary was a virgin. We know that an angel appeared to Mary, an angel appeared to Joseph, an angel appeared to Elizabeth, Mary's cousin or relative, to her husband, Zechariah. We know that angels appeared to the shepherds. We know that the wise men somehow knew that the King of the Jews had been born and that they went to Bethlehem to find him. And so we see all these events going on, and there's something supernatural happening. It's not just, oh, another baby was born. And it's not just some young girl who claimed that she got pregnant through some supernatural means. But God's hand was in this. And so Jesus had a miraculous birth. Jesus had a miraculous life. And these two things are important to establish, because someone can't just come along and say, oh, God sent me here. But when we see his miraculous birth and his miraculous life, then it helps us understand that, wow, he really was sent from God. And so we see all kinds of miracles that Jesus performed. Of course, he healed a lot of people. He healed people of physical sicknesses. He healed people of mental illness. He did all kinds of different miracles. He showed his power over the weather when he was able to calm a storm. He was able to walk on top of the water. He was able to really show his power over time when he was able to turn water into wine and make something that normally was an aged process and able just to make it in the snap of his fingers. And so we see again and again these miracles in his life. We see his fulfillment of numerous prophecies, prophecies that were made hundreds of years before his birth, and he fulfilled these prophecies, many which he would have had no control over in his life. We see his power over death, and that he raised three different people to life. We see his power over the grave, when he himself predicted his own death and resurrection and came back to life. And so he's this really unique person, this unique being, in that he was sent from God. And he didn't just say it, but he proved it. There's proof through his miraculous birth and his miraculous life. And people who are just celebrating Christmas aren't believing that part of it, aren't believing that Jesus was who he really said he was. Jesus was on a life mission. There are a number of verses in Scripture that talk about why Jesus came. He came with a very specific purpose. And let me share some of those verses with you here. In John 12:46, Jesus said, "I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness." In Luke 19:10, he said, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." And in 1 Timothy 1:15, Paul, who had been a terrible sinner in his past and had gone around killing Christians and persecuting them, Paul said this. He said, "Here's a trustworthy thing that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst." And so we put those three together. We see that he came to save people out of their darkness and out of being lost, and he came to save sinners. And I think that's really important for us to understand, because in this world without Jesus, that's the spot that we're in. We're in a spot of being lost, spiritually lost, a spot of spiritual darkness, a spot where we're just stuck in our sin. And there's no hope in that spot. If you've ever been lost, it's a pretty hopeless feeling. If you've ever been in the dark, it's a hopeless feeling. If you've felt the gravity of your sin, it's a hopeless feeling. And in Jesus' day, that's how people felt. In the Old Testament, the Israelites had a way of being made right with God. And that way was through the sacrificial system that God had set up, where they would sacrifice different animals for their sins at different periods of time. And it's kind of silly, really, if you think about it. It's like, why would God care if you sacrifice an animal? You know, what difference would it make to him? How would that appease him? or make him forgive you for your sins. It doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. But the reason he did that was very insightful. He had a plan in that he wanted our sins to be paid for through a sacrifice. But those sacrifices were just like mini sacrifices. Like, they weren't the real thing. They were just a foreshadow of the real thing. And the real thing was the sacrifice of the perfect Lamb of God. Not just a lamb, but the Lamb of God, as was one of the names of Jesus. You remember when John the Baptist met Jesus for the first time, or at least in his ministry. John said of Jesus, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Jesus was the Lamb of God, the sacrificial Lamb, the one who, when he was killed, that his death paid for our sins, just like the death or the blood of a lamb back in the Old Testament was supposed to pay for people's sins at that time. And so when Jesus came on the scene, the Israelites had been conquered. Their whole sacrificial system had fallen apart. They had gone back into their promised land, but the sacrificial system never got back up and running. So there was really no way to deal with their sins. And these people would have really felt like they were lost and in darkness and that they were stuck in their sins. There was just no way for their sins to be dealt with. John 3:17 says, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." This is the same verse we looked at earlier. We see that Jesus' purpose in coming was to save the world. He's not just a little baby. He's someone who's sent by God on a mission to save the world. And that's why his name is Jesus. Matthew 1:21 is talking about Mary. "Mary will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." The name Jesus means the one who saves, a savior. It's so ingrained in his purpose that it's part of his name. In Mark 10:45, it says, "For even the Son of Man," who's Jesus, "for even Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." And that's where we see that Jesus' purpose in coming wasn't just to be a good teacher. Wasn't it just to give a message of love or a message of hope or a message of, hey, don't judge other people? Jesus came for a very specific purpose, and that purpose revolved around his death. Jesus came to die in a very specific way. He came to die for our sins. He came to die that we might live. He came to die so that this gap between us and God, this gap that's caused by our sin, could be dealt with and closed, and there would be nothing standing in the way of us having a relationship with God. That's why Jesus came, to deal with that darkness, to deal with that lostness, to deal with that sin. In John 12:27, shortly before Jesus' crucifixion, he said, "Now my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour?" No. It was for this very reason I came to this hour. He came for the very purpose of going to the cross. He came so that he could go to the cross to be the sacrificial lamb to pay for our sins so that we could have eternal life. And Jesus came to bring this message to people, not just to die for us, but so that we would know this, so that we would know how we could have light, how we could be found, how we could have our sins cleansed and separated from us. In Luke 4:43, Jesus said, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns also, because that is why I was sent." So we see another purpose of Jesus. Jesus came to die on the cross. Jesus also came to share this message with everyone. Because God's heart is that all people would be saved. Sometimes we think of God as some mean person who puts on a bunch of rules, and almost like maybe he takes some kind of joy in seeing people punished. But God's heart is that all people would be saved. And that's why Jesus spread this message. And that's why he told his followers to spread this message to the whole world, because he wanted everyone to know this good news, this good news of great joy that a Savior had come into the world. And here we see an example of Jesus sharing this message with people. It starts with the most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16. Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son." So that's important right there. We see this starting with God's love, God's heart for the world, for the people of the world. It's a heart of love. He saw our lostness. He saw our brokenness. He saw our darkness. And he loved us so much that he sent Jesus into this dark, broken, lost world. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, who's Jesus, that whoever believes in Jesus shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send Jesus into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. That was his heart. Whoever believes in Jesus is not condemned. But whoever does not believe in Jesus stands condemned already because they've not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. So Jesus went around preaching a message. Went around preaching this good news or gospel to everyone he had the opportunity to share it with. And this message was that people could be made right with God. People could have eternal life. Now later on they would find out it's through the sacrifice of Jesus. That was the means of their salvation. But the way that they got their salvation was through Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And here in this passage, very clearly, we see a couple times it talking about that what you have to do to have eternal life is so simple. It's so simple. All you have to do is believe in him. And what's that mean? Well, and that's where I think there's some kind of difference going on in our world. It's not just believing that Jesus was a historical figure. A lot of people believe that. Just drive around and look at all the decorations. Woohoo, we're celebrating Jesus. Not a whole lot different than we might celebrate St. Patrick's Day or Groundhog Day. But true belief is an understanding of who Jesus was. And putting our trust in going to heaven on what Jesus did on the cross. And it's that simple. That's why they call it good news, is because it's easy and it's free. Jesus did all the work for us when he went to the cross. All we have to do is believe in him. And so I just want to encourage you this morning that if you're not sure where you stand with Jesus, I just want to encourage you, Jesus came so that you might know where you stand, that you wouldn't have to be lost, that you wouldn't have to be in darkness, that you wouldn't have to be confused. He wants you to know how to have eternal life. And that's through transferring your trust in going to heaven, transferring it from your good deeds, from the things that you can do to somehow please God. Transfer your trust from that onto him. Realizing, you know what, I can never be good enough. I can never, ever, ever be good enough. You might be the nicest person in this room. You might have given away the most money. You might have helped the most people. It's not good enough. The only way we can get to heaven is to have our sins paid for. And the way we do that is through belief in Jesus Christ. So I just encourage you this morning, you know, if you're in this confused spot, you can just pray to God and say, "Hey, God, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. And I want to trust Jesus and what he did for me and not trust myself and receive this gift of eternal life." And there are no magic words, but if you just pray that with heart, if you just truly believe, that's all it takes. That's all it takes. Not the words, but if you truly believe. And so if you're confused, if you feel spiritually lost, I want to encourage you in that here today. And then I guess the other thing I want to encourage you, just as we start a new year, I think part of our journey in life, in the Christian life, is a journey of getting to know God. And I feel like the greatest way to do that is just to go to His Word. It's not through listening to me or other preachers on the radio or whatever, but just to go to His Word and learn about Him. And so we've got this Bible reading program I'd like to encourage you to take part of, because as you read God's Word, you find out what God is like. And it strengthens your faith. And it helps you fall in love with Him. And it helps you understand what He's really done for you, so that you can live this life of joy and response to Him. And so this isn't I check off my 10 boxes for the week and I'm a good Christian this week. This is just a journey of getting to know God better and what He's done for us. And so I want to encourage you in that. So let's pray. And if you haven't ever prayed to receive the gift of eternal life, you might just pray something like this. Jesus, I just thank you for what you did for me on the cross. I thank you that you came to the earth and that you came here on a mission. And that mission was to die, to go to the cross, to pay for my sins. And I know I can't be good enough to get to heaven, and so I put my trust in you and what you've done for me. And I thank you for going to the cross, and I thank you for the gift of eternal life. And if you've never prayed that before, and you just prayed that right now and you meant it, then in John 5:24, it says that you cross from death to life. Something amazing happens in your life, in your future. And so let's just finish in prayer here. God, we just praise you for that. That is so amazing. And just this Christmas time, God, I enjoy Christmas. I enjoy the tree and the lights and all that stuff. But more importantly, I just thank you for what you've done for us. And thank you that it's truly meaningful and wonderful that you provided a way for us to be rescued. Thank you, Jesus, for coming as a Savior. Thank you for saving me. And so we love you. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.